Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? How are all you doing? That's right. I am back in the saddle on this Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. Thank you so much for joining us here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin. I am back from Florida. I enjoyed the Easter weekend, spending time with the family, my little sister, my mother, my stepdad. It was a great time, but I certainly missed Mid-Michigan without a doubt. And today's a different show, and thank goodness for technology, because my flight got in today around 11:30-ish and didn't get into to my grandmother's to try and pick up the pup until about 12 noon. Would have taken me a long time to hit the road and try and get there in time for 1 o'clock. So get this, folks. And it sounds pretty good as well. Thank goodness for technology. It sounds like I'm just in the studio, right? But I am literally at my grandmother's house doing the show today. So, boy, the magic of radio, right? We've got a great hour in store for all of you out there, though. On today's current sports, you know what's going to lead the show. It's pretty much a no-brainer, right? How about last night's national championship game, which I must admit was a bit of a snoozer, because I really thought this game had the potential to go down to the wire. You know, Villanova, a really supremely offensively talented team going against a Michigan team that whose defense has been ranked in the top 10. But Villanova, I tell you what, I always say the cream rises to the top, right? And the Villanova Wildcats were just too much for the Michigan Wolverines. So we'll break down what happened in that game as a bench player just completely took over and led the Villanova Wildcats to victory. And I also want to get the perspective of course, Michigan State fans out there in knowing that your Spartans weren't playing in this national championship game and watching in-state rival Michigan compete on that level. What thoughts kind of went through your mind? I'm curious if there were any Michigan State fans who were rooting for Michigan, right? That you can't do that, right? I'm curious, were there any Michigan State fans there rooting for Michigan because, heck, you wanted to see the state win in some way, shape, or form, right? You swallowed your pride and said, all right, they're there. Michigan State isn't. No blue. I can't say those words, right? But I'm curious because, you know, being down in Florida, there were a lot of Michigan fans, and I had an interesting conversation with a few of them pertaining to last night's national championship game, and they were like, because, you know, I told them I'm a Michigan State grad and I work at MSU, and they were saying, you know what? If Michigan State competed in the national championship, we will be rooting for you guys. And I said, I highly doubt that. I don't believe a lick of that, okay? And there were many, and I immediately, as I usually do after a sporting event, immediately went to social media to put my pulse, you know, put my finger on the pulse of the fan base for Michigan State. And many of you were really happy that Michigan didn't pull off that national championship win last night. So we'll break down the game, talk about what happened. We'll talk about one shining moment, really not showing Michigan State at all. I watched it, and many people said that they did show the thunderous Miles Bridges dunk from round two against Syracuse, but that was like the only highlight that was shown for Michigan State
in that montage. And I love One Shining Moment. I think it's the greatest song in all of sports. It is the ideal way to end the college basketball season. The college basketball season isn't officially over until you hear One Shining Moment, right? But yeah, only one highlight. And I didn't even see that highlight. It must have been really, really quick. But I didn't even see that highlight of Miles Bridges, Michigan State being represented in some way, shape, or form. So we'll talk about that. Also, a man who was at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas, our dear friend Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio Atlanta. He covered it. He was in the house, suited and booted. He'll talk about what his experience was like around 1:30. And pretty big news. Pretty big news, Michigan State fans, because if that day couldn't get any worse prior to watching Michigan lose, I should say. But earlier on in the day, you heard the news pertaining to Jaren Jackson Jr., the highly touted Michigan State men's basketball freshie, who made his decision as to whether or not to stay for a sophomore campaign with Tom Izzo's Spartans, or to basically say, I'm chucking up the deuces and taking my talents to the NBA draft. Because I'm slated pretty high. He's slated to be a 1-6 pick. He's going to be a guaranteed lottery pick. Well, Jaren Jackson Jr. has decided to head to the NBA. We'll break down that decision, and you'll get our thoughts on whether or not that was a shocker. I kind of saw that one coming. That and more. So a lot of college basketball talk. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. There is obviously no Facebook live stream today unless you want to see me in my grandmother's basement. I'm pretty sure that wouldn't be appealing to you all. So let's just keep it pushing. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Folks, and we start with, of course, the NCAA title game. March Madness 2018 came down to two teams, the Villanova Wildcats and the Michigan Wolverines, in the national championship game last night. The Wildcats were 6.5-point favorites to take home their third title and their second one in the past 3 years. But the Wolverines were looking to take home college basketball's top honor for the first time since 1989. Well, that didn't happen, as the Villanova Wildcats overcame Michigan's early 7-point lead by the half and won 79-62. Much of that second half was just not close at all, a complete blowout. And I tell you what, there was one player who stood out more than any other player on the court. And get this, he's actually a bench player. That being Dante DiVincenzo, who set the record for most points for a player off the bench in NCAA national championship history. He scored 18 in the first half. He finished with 31 on the night. He was awarded most outstanding player on the night. What a performance it was for him. He was fun to watch last night, I must admit. And also, I will say this too. I want to get to this story later on at some point this hour. But his Twitter profile is getting more talk than his play last night is currently, for a reason. And I think it's a good lesson to all you young pups out there who love to live on social media and love to put all your thoughts out there on Twitter, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on Instagram. It's a good lesson for the youth. All right, so we'll get to that story later on after we finish up chatting about what went wrong with the Michigan Wolverines last night. All right, and you know how looking ahead immediately we are as a society, right? We're always looking at what's next. What's next? And already Vegas has odds out pertaining to which teams are going to be favored to win the 2019 NCAA tournament. Well, Duke heads into the offseason as the favorite to win the 2019 Men's Basketball National Championship at the Westgate Superbook out in Las Vegas. Now, the sports book on Monday installed the Blue Devils as the favorites at 5-1 ahead of new national champion Villanova. The Wildcats, who took down Michigan, of course, yesterday to win their second national title in 3 years, open at 8-1 favorites for next season's championship, along with Kansas and Kentucky. Now, as it pertains to Michigan State, North Carolina is 12-1, followed by Michigan State, Gonzaga, and Virginia, which are each 15-1 favorites. So, again, we're not Nostradamus here. We don't know what's going to happen next season, but Vegas likes to play that role, all right? So, again, Michigan State, 15-1 odds to win next year's Natty, along with Gonzaga and Virginia. All right, Jaren Jackson Jr., Michigan State freshie. Jaren Jackson Jr., he announced Monday that he will enter the NBA draft. Jackson, 6'11", shot blocking forward. He is projected by many to be a top five pick in June. Jackson, who has signed an agent, was named the top freshie and top overall defender in the Big Ten during his one season at Michigan State. He went on to say it again. I'm just taking one excerpt here. Quote, "This was not an automatic decision. And honestly, thank you for making it one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to think about." That's what Jackson said in a note to Spartan fans that he shared on Monday via his social media page. We'll break down the decision of Jaren Jackson Jr., whether or not it was the right decision, and what this means for Michigan State men's basketball 2019. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Quick update when it comes to Michigan State softball today. Tuesday's game between Michigan State and Notre Dame has been postponed indefinitely due to the forecasted weather in the East Lansing area. Well, I should say in the area. The two coaches will look and work to find a date that works in both teams' schedules, but agreed that the postponement today was in the best interest of both squads. Michigan State is scheduled to host Minnesota in a three-game series next weekend at Sekia Stadium, with all spring athletic events. Again, you just simply go to MSUSpartans.com. All right, shortstop Jose Iglesias will return to the lineup today as the Detroit Tigers play the second of three games against the Kansas City Royals. Iglesias got a day off on Monday after playing 18 innings in Sunday's doubleheader and hurting his ankle in an outfield collision, actually. Now, the Tigers will use their regular starting nine for the game. The Tigers got their first win of the season yesterday with a 6-1 win over KC. And guess what? They're just underway right now against the Royals. That was a 1:10 p.m. first pitch. Jake Junis is on the mound taking on Matthew Boyd. We'll keep an eye on that game throughout the hour. All right, the Detroit Red Wings will play the Columbus Blue Jackets 7 p.m. tonight on the road in Columbus, Ohio. Catch that one on FSD. Just one game note here. The Red Wings have three games left in the season, and despite being eliminated from the playoffs, there is a lot at stake because they've won three straight, I guess. So there you have that. The Wing will, as that season comes to a close. And I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite weeks in all of sports. After the national championship takes place, you guys know that the next biggest sporting event is the Masters at Augusta. Oh, there's nothing like it, folks. And this year in particular is so interesting and so eventful because Tiger Woods is playing so well. Tiger Woods actually participated in tournament activities at Augusta National for the first time since 2015, playing a nine-hole practice round on Monday with Fred Couples and Justin Thomas, and drawing rave reviews in the process. Actually, some of those highlights were shown online. Now, with an enthusiastic gallery following, Woods looked at ease as he played the front nine in warm conditions on the first day on the course. That was open to spectators for the Masters tournament, which, again, begins Thursday. This is what Fred Couples had to say about Tiger Woods yesterday. Quote, "He hit a few drives that were well worth watching, whether you paid for it or are in the tournament like me." Now, Couples won the Masters in 1992, and those words are really, really heavy when putting in perspective where Tiger Woods is right now in preparation for the Masters. I'm so excited to watch Tiger this weekend. Now, Woods won the Masters. He has won the Masters four times. He has not played in the tournament since his tie for 17th back in 2015. He has missed three of the previous four Masters due to back problems. Has not played in a major championship since missing the cut at the 2015 PGA Championship. And the pairings have just been announced. And Tiger Woods will be paired with Mark Leishman and Tommy Fleetwood. You can catch that pairing, that group, at 10:42 a.m. on Thursday in round one of the Masters. Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the hour, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to our Facebook page. Also at facebook.com/WKAR News. Just leave us a comment there and do my best to get your comments. And to read the comments on the air, I should say. And also, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
There's a different level.
The thing that makes you guys special is you never quit.
We deserve to win the game. Make history. Make history.
We kind of all wanted to be in the One Shining Moment video.
One, two, three.
Yeah. Now, let's get going.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life.
No, he's not human.
You're a shooting star. And all the names, no one knows just how hard you work. Time is short, and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone. And when it's done, win or lose, you always get your best. 'Cause inside you.
that? How about that? How about that? How about that? That's one of the classics in American culture, right? One shining moment. Got to let that play through all the way, Ian. My man, that is one of my favorite moments in sports. It really is. You know, every year after the national championship game, we play that song in full to kind of relive. It's a way to relive what has happened in the last 4 weeks or so, right? And Michigan State fans, I know you guys were waiting to see if there will be any highlights pertaining to your Michigan State Spartans, seeing as though it was a short-lived March Madness for them, right? Second round ousting at the hands of the Syracuse Orange. But again, I was told, because I watched it, I didn't catch it. It was probably like 2 seconds, a flash, like boom and bam, in and out. But they did show a Miles Bridges dunk. The Miles Bridges dunk. You guys know that dunk. He was on the fast break and just kind of cocked it back like a tomahawk and then almost fell down and lost his balance after slamming it through. I guess they did show that. The only highlight that Michigan State was featured in from One Shining Moment. But it's a big moment because people love that song. People love that moment. And the college basketball season isn't officially over until that video is shown. So it's now in the books. And there are a lot of takeaways when it comes to this season. The Villanova Wildcats and Jay Wright. Wow, Jay Wright. I mean, you got to put him in some hefty company now. I mean, this dude is really, really claiming his stake in college basketball history now. The sharpest dressing coach in all of college basketball, and he wins the 2018 national championship. So I got a few takeaways. Again, I asked a question at the top of the hour, how Michigan State fans felt about this game. You know, about, you know, watching Michigan go down. You know, I'm curious because I tell you what, you're really, really generous. You are such a kind soul. If you, despite you bleeding green and white, if you sat back and said, well, you know what, at least we got one representative from the state of Michigan playing in the national championship, I'm going to go ahead, put my pride aside and root for the maize and blue. You are one generous individual, because I, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'm pretty sure that about 98% of Michigan State fans were not rooting for the Michigan Wolverines last night. Ian Hawley, you didn't take that route, did you, Ian? You didn't do that.
No, sir, absolutely not. I could never bring myself to root for Michigan in any way, shape, or form. I can't even think of an opponent that they would play, honestly, other than maybe Alabama, because I hate them so much. But
right.
That one would be a crapshoot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, no Michigan State fan, the average Michigan State fan was not sitting there, you know, watching that game and saying, yeah, go Michigan. No, it's not. It's not happening. Not happening at all. They were probably, in fact, doing the opposite, rooting for Villanova. But it was so interesting because, again, as you guys know, Ian Hawley has been holding down the fort with the current sports team as I've been away. And, you know, being down in Florida, I tell you what, there were a lot of Michigan fans down in the South Florida area because my family and I, we went out to watch the game at a little spot called Nick's, a pretty well-known spot. We go out there. It's absolutely packed. And I tell you what, I saw about, you know, 7 or 8 Michigan fans rocking the maize and blue that were there at the restaurant watching the game. And, you know, they were going through a plethora of emotions because Michigan began that game really well. But we all know what happened as it went on and what happened in that second half. But, you know, Michigan fans, I saw a lot of them. I saw a lot of them over the weekend. And then on my plane ride back, I actually ran into one who looked just really sad. He looked really, really sad. He was by himself. He had his Michigan men's basketball maize and blue shirt on, and he walked through security, and security was kind of giving him some flack. I think one security guard said, oh, it was a bad night for Big Blue, huh? That's a direct quote. It was a bad night for Big Blue. And he said, yeah, it was. Let me collect my things and go and catch my flight. So I kind of felt bad for him, but not really. Not really. What a season, though. You got to give credit to John Beilein and the Michigan Wolverines for even getting to that point. It was quite the ride. And again, I think, you know, you talk about claiming your stake in the world of college basketball. Mr. John Beilein is certainly doing that. But wow, it was a fun game, at least to start. And Villanova is the national champion once again, winning, you know, their, you know, the Wildcats' second title in 3 years. You know, only this one came much easier than back in 2016 as they took down Michigan last night, 79-62. 31 points. 31 points from a bench player. A bench player in Dante DiVincenzo. Dante DiVincenzo, who hadn't sniffed 31 points throughout this NCAA tournament. But he just went off. I mean, he was just in one of those grooves, and you saw some of the shots that he made. I mean, I'm talking about hands right in his grill. Money. Taking guys off the dribble. Money. Hitting mid-range jumpers. Finding teammates down low for the assist. I mean, the dude did it all. He was named, as I mentioned in our current Sports Quick Hit headliners, Dante DiVincenzo was named the most outstanding player. And it was really, you know, when the Wildcats got down by as much as, you know, 7 in the first half, you know, but after trailing, you know, 21-14 with 11 minutes left in the first stanza, that, you know, you saw Villanova outscore the Wolverines 23-7, and that momentum just kind of carried on. But that momentum really started to shift due to Dante DiVincenzo coming off the bench and holding down the fort. Absolutely amazing. So that young man is feeling pretty good today. But I think it's a catch-22 because later on this hour, I'm going to get to a story that involves his Twitter account that isn't the ideal story that you want people talking about after you lead your team to the national championship win, coming off the bench to do so, scoring more than 30 points, 31 to be exact. And people aren't really talking about your performance because of your social media account. So, yeah. And also, I'm going to throw this tidbit out there. Jay Wright's team became the first since North Carolina in 2009. And we all know who NC played that year, right? Michigan State. But Jay Wright's team became the first since NC in 2009 to win every one of their NCAA tourney games by at least 10 points. I just think, you know, Ian, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I just think that when you look at Villanova and you look at this team and how deep they are, and you look at a performance like Dante DiVincenzo, I love saying that name, it just kind of shows that Villanova right now is there's levels to this thing, right? Villanova was just a level above everybody else in March. And they got production from so many different players. This team was pretty deep, right, Ian?
Yes. And to be quite honest with you, they did not perform up to the level of team play that they had throughout this tournament. But DiVincenzo just went off. I mean, and this Villanova team is just one of those roadblocks that you hit. I mean, you talk about that North Carolina team. No one was going to beat that team that year. And no one was going to stop this Villanova team this year. Especially when you get production from your bench players like DiVincenzo.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming. I mean, and not only did DiVincenzo do it on the offensive end, but he did it defensively as well. I mean, we're talking about a redshirt sophomore here. He dug Villanova out of that offensive funk in the first half, scoring 18 of the team's first 32 points. He also blocked a shot with each hand on one play. Crazy.
When he stuffed it into the rim?
I think it was Charles Matthews who was going up for that dunk, and he goes up, meets him at the summit with two hands and just says, not in my house. And then Xavier Simpson, I don't know what he was trying, but he was right underneath the basket. Xavier Simpson goes up and just gets his shot pinned by DiVincenzo. I mean, it's just an all-around great performance. And also, he finished the game with a game-high 31 on 5 of 7 shooting efficiency from the three-point range. Amazing. And I'll say this as well. You know, when it comes to what went wrong for Michigan, because the way they started that game, I really thought, Ian, that, again, this was going to come down to the wire. Mo Wagner came out. He was 4-for-4 from the floor. They could not stop him. He was showing off those polished post moves. But then that Villanova defense started to key in on Mo Wagner. They double-teamed him on multiple possessions, and they basically said, all right, Mo Wagner's not going to beat us. Who else is going to step up in this moment? Because we're not going to allow Michigan's best player to just go off. And I tell you what, Michigan really needed Charles Matthews. And they really did. They didn't get him. Charles Matthews was absent. Matthews, in my opinion, has really been that stabilizing force for the Wolverines all year long. He was their second leading scorer, averaging 13.1 points per game, and their second leading rebounder, averaging almost 6 rebounds per game. But he just simply didn't have his best game on Monday. He just did not show up.
I agree.
He struggled from the field. In the early going, he had a chance to put Michigan up, 8-4, missed 2 free throws. And those free throw bugaboos really shine bright on the game's biggest stage last night as well. But, just a couple of possessions later, got a steal, and then he misses a bunny layup. And then he misses another couple of free throws in the second half when his team really needed any kind of points. He finished 0-for-4 from the line. I've always said all season that Charles Matthews is that X factor for the team. He has shown so much toughness. I'll even go back to when, Michigan and Michigan State were playing. I think it may have been the first meeting. I think it was the first meeting between the two. And we saw Charles Matthews kind of just boss up and get in the face of Nick Ward, basically saying, nah, man, you're not just going to run over us. This is a different Michigan team than the past. We are tough. We play gritty defense. You are not going to intimidate us. He has been that X factor and really the emotional leader of that Michigan Wolverines team. And gosh, he just did not show up. And you can't make mistakes against Villanova because, Villanova, Ian, number one team in the nation in offensive efficiency this year, scoring 1.198 points per possession. They led the nation in scoring offense as well. They know how to score, and they score a lot when they especially are given ideal opportunities to do so, because there were a lot of open shots as well. I was really surprised with the lack of rotation for that Michigan defense. But overall, you see that there's levels to this thing, and Villanova is just a level above the rest. Jay Wright has to be so giddy right now, Ian. He really does.
Oh, yeah. His team, like I say, did not have a great team performance. Their starters, honestly, when I look at their stat lines, it did not turn out so well for some of them. Spellman only had 8 points. Pascal, who actually led the team for the most part on the offensive drive in the final 4 game against Kansas, only ended up with 6. Mm-hmm. Michael Bridges was actually really good. He ended up with 19 points.
Mikal Bridges.
3-for-7 from...
Yeah, Mikal Bridges.
Right? Yeah, Mikal Bridges. And Jalen Brunson only ended up with 9, but when you have DiVincenzo in there doing what he was doing, I mean, at one point the announcer said, who even needs Jalen Brunson right now when they got a guy like this?
Right, exactly.
DiVincenzo was the man of the hour last night, and to be quite honest with you, it was kind of disappointing to see Matthews of Michigan not produce the way he had been. I mean, like you say, he was that second guy where if Wagner didn't have it going offensively, or if they were shutting him down defensively, whoever the other team may have been, then Matthews was that guy who kind of picked up the slack. And Abdul Rahman looked really good. He was 8-for-13 from the field goal mark. Ended up with 23 points, but they just had no production from their bench. Jordan Poole only had 3 points. John Teske ended up with 2, and Duncan Robinson had 0. And that's just not going to cut it for the Wolverines against a powerful offense like Villanova.
Yeah, and this is going to sting Michigan because, I mean, this is the second time, since 2013 when Michigan took on Louisville that John Beilein has been on this stage in the Big Dance with an opportunity to win a national championship. So this is really going to sting John Beilein, just not getting the job done on that big stage. But overall, if I'm a Michigan fan, I'm pleased with what happened this season. And I'm pleased with the job of John Beilein and what he has done for the Michigan men's basketball culture out in A-squared. It's very impressive. All right, what I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I'll be chatting with Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio Atlanta. Deshaun was actually in the house in Texas covering all things Final Four, of course, covering the national championship at the Alamo Dome. We'll get a first-hand recollection of what he saw last night in the national championship game. We'll also talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. saying goodbye to Spartan Nation. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Welcome back to WKAR Stirring Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, joining you right here live on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Of course, the foundation of today's show is centered on last night's national championship men's basketball game as the Michigan Wolverines fell to the Villanova Wildcats. It was a 79-62 final. We've been raving about the performance of Dante DiVincenzo, who scored a career-high 31 points en route to the Most Outstanding Player Award. But I tell you what, DiVincenzo, he's making headlines. I'm seeing more talk about his Twitter account than his performance on the basketball court last night, because a Twitter account attributed to DiVincenzo actually had more than 17,000 tweets, was most active when DiVincenzo was in high school. It contained several tweets that used the N-word. Some of those tweets came from rap lyrics. Other tweets used derogatory terms for gay people. And after the game, Villanova's basketball account tweeted that DiVincenzo's account had been hacked, saying, quote, none of the statements attributed to Dante are his. And then it goes on to say, no tweets, however, came from DiVincenzo's account on Monday. The last tweet from his account was dated June of 2016. Now, Villanova later retracted his statement and DiVincenzo's account was wiped. So it's just been unfortunate. I think there's a lot of lessons that can be made here when it comes to just 2018, the world we live in. You know, our youth today on Twitter accounts, on Facebook accounts, letting their voice be heard, which is a beautiful thing. Don't get me wrong. But you really have to be careful what you put out there in the world, because it could end up biting you. You know, especially when it comes to applying for jobs. You better believe, you know, and especially in my industry. You know, I constantly talk to interns of mine and production assistants of mine to make sure that when you go out and start applying for jobs, and if you want to get in this industry and once you will become a public figure, you better believe that employer, that potential employer, is going to look up your social media account just to see what kind of person you are behind closed doors. What is your character like? And if you put bad stuff out there or stuff that rocks the boat, you better believe somebody's going to find it. Now, I'll also say this because, you know, I think that some of the media out there are treating Dante DiVincenzo like he's a professional athlete here, digging into old tweets. I think that is incredibly petty. I must say that as well. That's not the first thing on my mind as a journalist. You know what I mean? You're just looking for a fire here. You're looking for a story that's going to get you a lot of clicks. You're looking for some drama here. After this young man puts on the performance of a lifetime, 31 points off the bench in a national championship game, a few hours from that, I see, oh, hold on, Dante DiVincenzo's Twitter account. Let's take a look at that. He used a few slurs here and there. He's not a man of character. I just think that the timing of this is so sensationalized. I just don't understand it. So there's a few lessons here. And you know, as athletes, and this is a good lesson for young athletes out there, no matter what level you play, whether it be professional or whether it be at the collegiate level or whatever level you're talking about. If you are in the public eye, you constantly have to watch your back. You constantly have to make sure in the social media world that we live in that you are dotting your I's and crossing your T's, because then stuff like this can happen. So it's a bit unfortunate that you know, especially when you look at some of the tweets that were out there. It's like, come on, man, really? You got to be smarter than that. I mean, really? You know, so it's a bit unfortunate that we're not really harping on and talking about his performance and talking about his Twitter account at that. But there's a lesson. There's a lesson in everything, and there is certainly a lesson in this. All right, you know, I want to bring to the show right now our dear friend of ours. You guys know he's a regular here on WKAR's Current Sports. He's absolutely tearing it up as a college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He followed, of course, the entire NCAA tournament. He was down in Texas following what happened in the national championship game as the Wolverines fell to the Villanova Wildcats, we now invite, live here on WKAR's Current Sports, Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio Atlanta. Deshaun, how you doing, my man? You getting any sleep these days?
Al, good afternoon, man. I appreciate you for having me on the show. I apologize if it's a little difficult to hear. I'm here on the Riverwalk still, man, so you know it's real. sitting here in San Antonio, man, beautiful weather, and I'm not trying to rub it in on you too much, but beautiful weather. Looking forward to getting back to Houston later on this afternoon and right on back to Atlanta, start preparing for the NBA draft and then the Summer League pretty soon, man. But first things first, man, the Final Four experience has been great.
Oh, I'm sure it has, man. And, you know, you followed, you know, the Final Four, and you of course, were at the national championship game out in Texas, all those festivities taking place, out in Texas at the Alamo Dome. And for you, Deshaun, watching that game, first off, I want to get your takeaway from, of course, what I just stated about the whole DiVincenzo story. But just focusing on basketball right now, as we've been breaking down what happened in that game, what allowed Villanova to really just – you know, put their foot down and stomp on the throat of the Wolverines in that second half and pull away. What led to that blowout? Because I really thought the way that game began for Michigan, I thought this was going to be a barn burner. I was getting my popcorn ready, dude.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it was more of the experience factor mixed with some talent. Michigan came out, you know, pretty red hot. And I think that, you know, it was a combination of a couple of things. Villanova was still trying to, get some things figured out a little bit in preparation for Michigan. And I think that if Michigan was going to win this game, then they had to come out exactly how they did. And then I thought that they had to do the same thing in the second half. I think one of the issues for Michigan was that, Charles Matthews didn't necessarily show up and give the kind of production I thought that he needed to between him and Mo Wagner to have a chance in this game. Mm-hmm. And Mo Wagner played well for most of the first half, all the way up until, you know, probably the last 5 to 7 minutes of the end of the first half, and finishing with, I think it was like 11 at that, 9 or 11 at that point. However, you know, I just noticed that one of those little weird stat lines was Dante DiVincenzo. The team is undefeated this year when he scores 18 or more, and who I thought was the X factor in Duncan Robinson. The Michigan Wolverines are undefeated when he scores 6 points or more, and I think that was part of the difference maker. I mean, he's the X factor of this team, and a lot of people don't know about Dante DiVincenzo. And he's obviously a really good player. I'm not sure if any of us thought that he was 31 points good, but nevertheless, that just goes to show how strong Villanova is as a team and so hard to prepare for when you're thinking about Mikal Bridges, who is a lottery pick, and obviously Jalen Brunson, who's maybe not a lottery pick or one of the better prospects for the NBA draft, but certainly player of the year and two national championships in 3 years for him and Coach Wright. And they were just, you know, not necessarily clicking on all cylinders the way that they were in the Kansas game for the semifinal, but it was enough to push them over the hump. If nobody else solidified themselves or helped themselves in terms of draft stock coming up, whose name is not Dante DiVincenzo, is certainly Mo Wagner with the performance that he had between both games, certainly that very first game against Loyola, that's for sure.
And to go back real briefly, Deshaun, you noted that the Wildcats are undefeated whenever Dante DiVincenzo comes off the bench and scores at least 18 points. How many times has he scored 18 or more points this season? I don't know if you have that stat in front of you right now.
I'm sorry, say that last part one more time.
Just asking, Deshaun, you noted how DiVincenzo, you know, the Wildcats are undefeated whenever he scores 18 or more points. How many times this season has he scored 18 or more points that have led to a Wildcats win this year?
I didn't get a chance to check out exactly that stat line.
Okay.
Exactly. But he's certainly a phenomenal player. I mean, he's really a good player. I mean, he's just one of those guys that flies under the radar a little bit. And I knew that his capabilities of what he would be able to do, I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me that he scored 18 points. But when you're talking about, you know, probably multiplying that by two just about, I think that was something a little bit more far-fetched. And like I said, with so many different guys on this Villanova team, especially, all five guys in the starting lineup in terms of guys that can play multiple positions well offensively, defend multiple positions defensively, And all the guys can rebound. All the guys can shoot from the outside. Eric Paschal and as well as Amari Spellman, and you know, and they all can defend. They all can rebound the ball exceptionally well. And I think overall, you know, that was ultimately the deciding factor. But the bench points, obviously, bringing DiVincenzo off the bench at the half when Villanova was edging Michigan in bench points 20-3. I think that was obviously a difference maker because of the Dante DiVincenzo factor, and also because of the free throw percentages. We all know that Michigan is not an outstanding free throw shooting team. However, they're very good defensively, but this is no reason for the Wolverine faithful to hang their heads by any stretch of the imagination. It was just more of a matter of talent kicking in after a while. And, I mean, they were playing with house money. We all know that Michigan only had it's not a seven-game series. That should have been the mentality coming in. You only have to win one game. That's all that you have to do. But they obviously had the edge. They showed why they were the best team in the country all year long, despite of a couple of those setbacks. And they went out there and proved it. Now we're talking about Villanova being amongst not only, you know, one of the best basketball program maybe that's going on in college basketball right now, and all doing it with all upperclassmen, no one and done. I think that's one of the other things that probably would stick out to me the most. And Dante DiVincenzo was just a huge factor in yesterday's win. But make no mistake about it, Michigan shouldn't hang their heads by any stretch of the imagination, because I like to think that no matter who that was, Michigan State included, Duke, you name the team, if they were in that same position, then they were going to get to work the same way that Michigan did last night. So it was definitely an overachieving season for the Wolverines.
DeShawn Tate of CBS Radio Atlanta, college basketball expert who was present at the national championship game in San Antonio, Texas, at the Alamo Dome as the Villanova Wildcats made slight work of the Michigan Wolverines. And you talk about the dominance of the Villanova Wildcats, DeShawn. I want to talk about Jay Wright for a second, because Jay Wright has now led Villanova to its second national championship in three seasons. And, you know, I believe that Jay Wright now, this accomplishment puts him in that stratosphere of coaches, like Coach K, you know, John Calipari, you know, Tom Izzo, Roy Williams. Should we now start mentioning Jay Wright in the conversation of college basketball's elite coaches? Because I think he's earned that right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more titles than a lot of those guys between Boeheim and Izzo and Self and a lot of those guys. You certainly got to consider him amongst the elite, and especially not only that, but because of the fact that he's doing it without all these one-and-done studs. And I talked to him a little bit about that in the post-game press conference, and he kind of talked about, hey, it's not like we're not going after one-and-done guys. We're certainly going after them. Now, am I ready to start putting him in the Coach K conversation? I think that that's a little bit premature before we start getting to that point. And I mean, don't make no mistake about it. I always thought that Billy Donovan was a good coach, but I mean, he did the exact same thing. You know, he won back to back, so we never ended up seeing it again, but I wasn't so sure that I was ready to put him in the conversation amongst the elite. I think over time, what will happen is that in order for us to start considering Jay Wright, and that we can talk about him maybe being in the same conversation a little bit, but I don't think that it's fair for us to really put him in there, insert him in there as in a permanent spot until we see how things unravel, or more layers of that onion peels off when, later on in the next couple years. Now, if we're talking about he wins 3 out of 5, or talk about he wins, 3 out of 7 or something like that, I think that's when we might start having those conversations. But unfortunately, and this is not to rain on the Villanova Wildcats parade by any means, but I still think that just right now, as good as he is amongst the very best, he's really, really good. He's really, really good. But I think that Coach K is at the top of that pinnacle, and I just don't think that Jay Wright is there yet.
Yeah, well, like I said, we still have to wait and see how his career plays out. But I tell you what, two national championships in 3 years is quite amazing. And you know, Wright, you know, he's previously acknowledged that, you know, he knew that he was on the hot seat going into the 2004-05 season, if you remember. Then you know, the Wildcats started winning, making NCAA tournaments, eventually the 2009 Final Four. and really setting up that foundation of success that we currently see with Jay Wright. All right, Deshaun, I want to ask some fun questions now, my man. You know, with you being down there and watching that game and covering that game, you're a Lansing kid. I know you're a big Michigan State fan. What were your emotions like? Bias, you know, or not, the bias aside, of course, as a journalist, you're covering it. So you can't look at, you know, this game rooting for anybody, of course. That's what we do. That's our job, right? But when you're talking with the homies about this game, you know, covering the Michigan Wolverines in the national championship, what have those conversations been like?
You know, I'm actually with a friend right now who came out and I was back home with him the last time I was home, probably about a month or so, a little over a month ago, and he told me that they were going to get to this point, and I told him that I just have to, in order for me to believe it, I have to see it, and they got to this point, you know, and you got to give credit. I don't care what the situation is. You know, you got to give credit to Michigan because they overachieved, I think, this year. And the conversations has just been about, you know, how Michigan is kind of seemingly, you know, kind of taking over the state, kind of similar to the same way that that D'Antonio is doing in football. And this is just you got to tip your cap because they're not out there doing it with one and done players either. They're not doing it with the most talented players, if you will. I mean, between guys like Jordan Poole and I forgot Isaiah Livers, and I forget the other kid's name. Very good defensive player, Xavier Simpson.
Xavier Simpson.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, these aren't five star recruited, you know, type of kids. I don't think they're even five star talent. But it just goes to show that once you start getting to this point in the collegiate platform, then it's about the coaches, you know, and that's typically what it comes down to. Of course, some talent helps. You got to have that talent. But when you take defense and you take guys that are willing to buy into a program and a really good coach and Coach Beilein, the sky's the limit. I mean, they've gotten to that point. So, you know, as far as Michigan goes, I mean, they're certainly on the horizon. I think a couple different things has to change in order to win a national championship. But one of those things certainly can't be a team like Louisville and or a team like Villanova standing in the way, that's for sure. But you got to – I don't care what color you bleed, as green, blue, maize, purple, whatever, you have to tip your cap to what Michigan has been able to achieve this season with winning the conference tournament and then being off for almost, what, close to probably 2 weeks, I think, after winning the conference, where a lot of people said that probably would have been – a little bit too much rest for them, you know, and right. Still came out hot and was put in a tough situation where, you know, they had to win a last second shot, you know, against Houston. And a lot of things have, you know, like luck has to go your way a little bit sometimes in order to be put in that position. And they did that, but certainly not the game against Michigan State or whomever else that they play. Those weren't luck games. This is a team that's real. That's a team that deserved to be there, and they're doing it with experienced players and a really good system under head coach John Beilein.
Yeah, they certainly deserve to be there. But with you being a Lansing kid and being a Michigan State fan, Deshaun, was there a part of you that was rooting against the Wolverines last night?
Yeah, I was. I can't lie. I have my hands under the table, so I have my fingers crossed that they would lose. You know, I can't. Hey, look, Al, man, you've been knowing me for a minute, so you know I can't sit up here and try to tell you. So who am I to lie to you? But regardless of the fact, I still think that it would have been really good for the state of Michigan. And either way, I mean, I just really hope that the Big Ten brings this thing home really, really soon. Because of all the teams we've seen do, I mean, we haven't seen a Big Ten team do it with the exception of Maryland, who was originally, when they did it in 2002, an ACC team. But we haven't seen a team do it in the Big Ten since Michigan State did it. Michigan State have been there a ton of times. We've seen Ohio State get there, Michigan twice, Illinois got there. I think Wisconsin got there, and just nobody's been able to finish the deal. So that has to change at some point. But those teams went up against some really good teams that deserve to be national champions.
Before I get you out of here, Deshaun, and we certainly, to our listeners out there, will be diving into this. This will be the foundation of tomorrow's show. But yesterday afternoon, Deshaun, Spartan Nation got word that Jaren Jackson Jr. will be leaving Michigan State University and taking his talents to the NBA, where he is slated to be a lottery pick. He's going anywhere from 1 to 6, and that's what I'm seeing right now. For you, when you saw this announcement on his social media account, him thanking Spartan Nation, he's deciding not to come back for at least a second year, what was your reaction, and is this the right move for Jaren?
I say good for him. You know, that's what I say. I mean, at the end of the day, my question is, If it's about money, that's one thing. If this is about going, my thing is, can you produce at the next level? Because that's what the NBA draft is designed for. That's what coming out and declaring is supposed to be about. Can you leave the college platform and go on to the NBA and realistically see yourself contributing in some sort of way? If we're talking about going to the NBA so you can get dropped down to, you know, the overpopulated D League or G League, rather it is now, or, you know, just riding the pine. Not saying there's anything riding the oak for a little bit, you know, just so you can get your legs up under you, get some experience. But for a lot of these guys who are just solely based on just potential and that alone, I don't think that's Jaren Jackson's case. I felt like good for him. He reminds me of a Marcus Camby that can shoot a little bit better, the way that he can defend, grab rebounds, and he's got to put some weight on, but so does Marvin Bagley and a few other guys who's not named DeAndre Ayton. So, you know, I just really felt like, you know, I wish him all the best. Good luck to him. I don't think that it's a bad move. I don't think it's a move like a Mo Bamba. I think he's a little bit more polished. And we'll just have to see where it goes. I don't think that he's a number one pick. I think he's arguably a three all the way to maybe a five. But I think certainly after five, you definitely have to start considering him, even maybe even being a steal in this draft, just depending on the right situation. Sometimes people look at the player so much than they do the situation, the organization that they're playing for, and how they can contribute at the next level. But good for him.
Definitely. All right, Deshaun, great stuff, dude. We will definitely get you on soon, especially as the NBA draft looms and is on the horizon. But until then, safe travels, my man. Keep up the outstanding work, all right?
Thank you so much, Al. Appreciate you for having me on. Spartan Nation better get it together, man, because John Beilein is on the horizon.
You can say that again. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio Atlanta. And to kind of piggyback off what Deshaun stated, as we have just 1 minute left here in the hour, I mean, I always say, man, if you are a lottery pick, if you got guaranteed millions there, this is sports. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen next season. Go get that money. I had no problem with the Jaren Jackson Jr. move, which we will elaborate more on, because I got a few other points I want to make. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, be easy, people.